And they were both doing really well. And then all of a sudden, he decides he's not into this relationship and he's not in love with her anymore. And he starts pulling away. As soon as he started pulling away, she started getting really upset, feeling very abandoned, and kind of gripping harder onto him. He ended up moving out, and she's been severely grieving. And she's shocked because she had thought they were both committed in the same way. And that's a typical thing that I see with people who have what they thought was a loving relationship with a partner, a sibling, a friend. It doesn't have to necessarily be your significant other partner. But they get shocked and they say, wow, I thought we felt the same way. I thought we were committed. And in that shock comes abandonment. And abandonment can leave you feeling hollow, frightened, not good enough. It can create intense separation anxiety, especially when that person is an object of your heart. When you unconditionally love somebody and they are gone, by whatever means they are gone, whether it's they left or they died or moved on or stopped loving you, or even vacant and absent right in the same house right next to you, even laying in bed next to you. That love that is gone can make you feel horrible when you still love. So the idea of this show is when you still love and somebody else stops, what are you supposed to do? How do you handle that kind of heartache and anxiety? One of the things you need to be aware of is it can really eat away at your self-confidence. When you feel like somebody loves you, doesn't love you anymore, it's a natural tendency to want to make it your fault. Now think about that for a minute. If you can make it your fault, then maybe you can change and make them love you again. And that's a natural instinct. That's trying to have control of the situation. You can't fix them, you can't change them, you can't convince them that what they're thinking is wrong. But if you can make it your fault, then you can maybe fix it. I'll give you an example of that. I was seeing a woman in therapy they'd been married a long time. I mean, they're probably going on 20 years, if I remember correctly. And her husband had an affair and ended up leaving her, just walking out, and leaving her with two kids and going off with this woman. And she was very, very sad and upset and devastated about her kids and the family. And she felt very blindsided by it. But there was a real moment in time where she said she was screaming and crying and basically begging him, don't leave, don't leave, don't leave. And she painted this picture for me with her words. She said she was on the floor, on her knees, screaming and crying. And she said she looked up at him and he was standing there. And she said, I know you probably don't love me anymore because I've gained weight. She had gained about 10 pounds with each of the three kids, which is not unusual for women. And she decided that the reason he stopped loving her is because she had that thing I call the F and U's. She had the fat and uglies. So she decided she was fat and ugly, and that's why he must have left her. And so she started pleading with him and telling him that she would do anything and everything to lose weight and get back to looking like they did when they got together. And this was the turning point for her, because in my office she said, I looked up at him and he looked at me and he said, just kind of with disdain, yeah, right. And she said something clicked inside of her, that she was being desperate and begging and saying, if you don't like me for who I am and for my body after I've borne us three children, if you don't like me, I will desperately do anything I can to change who I am. And with disdain, that didn't attract him. That didn't make him go, oh, yeah, okay, great, I'll stay. No. With disdain, he looked at her and said, yeah, right. She said something in her clicked. And she said, no. I am not going to sacrifice my self-worth and who I am for somebody who's going to stand there and let me grovel at his feet and then look at me with disdain. So look at that whole picture. I was ecstatic, and I told her that that was an awesome internal awareness on her part, and that the picture she described was so incredibly profound. I've told other people about in therapy sessions that there will come that moment when you hopefully say, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to beg, grovel, plead for somebody to love me. So she was able to rise from that and start to say, wait a minute, something's just really wrong with, first off, that I was willing to grovel like that. Secondly, that he was shallow enough that he might leave me because I gained weight after each of the children that I had. And something's just really wrong with this whole picture. That was a turning point in her therapy where she really started dealing with her own self-worth and her own self-esteem. But what I want you to see is when you stoop to begging somebody to love you, the main thing I want you to get is it does not work. Begging somebody to love you is not the answer. If somebody has decided that you're not worth loving, you losing your confidence, groveling at their feet, begging them to love you, trying to convince them why they should stay, convincing them of how much you love them and you love them enough for both of you, that does not work. And I have yet to see somebody who goes, oh, okay, and turns around and comes back and reinvests in the relationship. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I really want to talk to you about the idea that you thought you both wanted the same thing. We'll be back in a minute.
Redding Kia is proud to be a part of Holiday Salute this season. We love our veterans and we thank them for their service to our country. Command the season. Save on our new lineup of winter-ready vehicles, like the 2021 Kia Sportage and the 2021 Kia Seltos. Now with a 20-year, 200,000-mile limited powertrain warranty at no extra cost. Redding Kia, 418 East Cypress Avenue. Come see us today. Happy holidays. RedingKia.com. Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a dental discount savings plan annual membership. The dental discount savings plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell and the beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis. You can listen to more of Randy's music at randymcginnis.com, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, all of that. All right, we're talking about I'm not begging anyone to love me. One of the things that blindsides people is when you're the person that you thought loved you leaves, and you thought, I thought we wanted the same thing. And that is so devastating. I often hear about family disruptions in clients and friends and family. You know, I hear about this sort of stuff where you thought, I love my sibling. My sibling isn't perfect, but I would never have abandoned him or her. I never would have left. Family is everything, and it blew you away that your family member could say, yeah, I'm gone. It blows people away when they say, I thought we, our relationship, meant more to you than you able to leave. I thought our family meant more to you. I've had many, many couples in my office where one of them decides they've fallen out of love. They just can't stay anymore. Whether their interest has gone elsewhere, like having an affair or not, not sometimes, but I'm not necessarily talking about that. One person decides, I'm out of here. And it often leaves families devastated. So I'll give you a typical example. I've had many clients before, but I'm thinking of one client in particular, one couple. They came in for marital therapy. She kind of dragged him in. He didn't really want to come. And one of the things I'm looking for when I start couples therapy with someone is, do they still love each other? Is there still something between them that we can begin to capitalize and rekindle? And when this couple came in, he really had 2 feet out the door. He looked at her with disdain. Everything she did bothered him. If she was nice, it bothered him. If she was snarky, it bothered him. And he just was totally turned off to her. It felt to me like he had interest elsewhere, but it never came out that he was having an affair. And, of course, I asked, and the answer was no. But he ended up walking out the door. He said, I just can't do this anymore. And he left. He left her in the house with the 2 kids. But she was devastated because she said, I thought our family meant more to both of us than that. I would have told you that I thought each of us would walk through fire for our children to not disrupt their lives or hurt them or create pain and devastation for them. So she was reeling on many different levels. She was still in love with him, and she couldn't believe he had thrown her away. She said, I feel like a piece of trash. That's a common phrase that I hear a lot. I feel like a piece of trash that's been thrown away. She thought he loved their children more than that, to be willing to devastate the kids. And she was just devastated, is the best word for it. So she not only had to try and repair her life and pull together and do what she needed to do to support these 2 kids and make things work for what was now the new normal for her, but she was grieving and her trust was broken and she felt desperately unattractive and hugely unwanted. So picture that. You're trying to heal from a loss as you create a new normal, as you feel really, really badly about yourself. And that's not unusual. I hear that scenario from a partner leaving. It doesn't necessarily have to be the husband that leaves. I hear partners that leave unexpectedly are over things that the other person thought we could work out or fix. And it can really bust up families and create a whole sense of devastation. But there's a piece in this that I want you to recognize. When a person comes up to their relationship and says, I'm out of here, I often see people not do that in an honorable way. And by the end of the show, I want to talk to you about if you have to leave because the love isn't there anymore and you just have to leave. There's honorable ways to do that. But many times they pick a fight so that they can blame the person they're leaving, or they start picking on the person and telling them how bad they are to justify why they want to leave. As the person who's being left, as their self-esteem deteriorates, the thing I see that kicks in is desperation. And I have a phrase that I use a lot in my practice. Desperation is not attractive. Desperation is never attractive, whether it's in a job interview or trying to keep your love from leaving or in how you parent or in how you take a test at school. Desperation is never a powerful, good emotion. It can be a motivator to do things, but the things you're doing with desperation are not necessarily healthy. So when you start to get desperate and beg and plead and try to convince the person how much you love them and what you used to have and why can't they just give it a try, as you look more and more desperate, the person usually pulls further and further away. Desperation is usually trying to rekindle a relationship through guilt and shame. And it's not a powerful stance. It doesn't make you feel good about yourself. And it's a downward spiral into feeling weak. When you begin to feel weak, you can feel depressed, anxious, resentful, angry. You can start to turn inward and be harmful to yourself. the extreme of that would be feeling suicidal. Lesser ways of harming yourself might be to stop eating or you can't sleep, drinking too much, taking tranquilizers, Xanax, things like that, doing something to medicate or stop the feelings of desperation and loss and feeling so weak. It is not a healthy place for you to function or you to begin to go back to getting your relationship put back together. So let's look at the idea of why people leave. Why do people stop loving? And I can hear your wheels spinning. People stop loving in relationships for many, many reasons. I think the hardest part is when someone stops loving you and you don't know why. What I can tell you is that people stop loving for their own personal reasons. And those reasons can sometimes just be convenient. I've heard of families broken apart because there's a terminally ill person in the family. And somebody finds a reason to get angry and mambos out because they don't want to have to deal with that elderly parent or that terminally ill person in the family. Or I've heard it happen a lot when there's a special needs child that's growing into an adult and people will kind of mambo out of that family because they don't want to end up, quote unquote, getting stuck with the special needs or high needs individual in their family. So leaving can often be convenient, and it can be a reflection of that person's commitment to family, to love, to making things keep going no matter what. That unconditional love that we were talking about in the first part of the show. So stop and think for a minute. If you're reeling with somebody that stopped loving you and you have found yourself begging that person to love you and you're listening to this show going, yeah, I need to stop begging them. I can't beg them. It's not working. It doesn't make me feel good. What are you begging them for? What do you want? And if it came back to you, would you trust it? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about trust and how your trust has been broken. But desperation is based a lot on the feeling weak. It's also based on separation anxiety. My heart longs for you. That's separation anxiety. And the other thing it's based on is as your self-esteem plummets, especially if your self-esteem was not very strong to begin with, the thoughts that go through people's heads are, no one else is going to love me. Maybe this is the best I'm going to do. Who else is going to want me after I've had three children? We used to have stuff that was so good. We had a great relationship. We had a great sex life. We had all sorts of things. And it's gone now. And why? Maybe if I could just get that back. Maybe if I could just lose a whole lot of weight and buy sexy lingerie. These are the things I hear people say. And what it does is it leaves them feeling desperately unattractive and desperate to say and do anything that might bring the person back to loving them again. When you begin to get into the issue of, I'm not begging anyone to love me, there's a strength that begins to return. All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, I want to talk about how do you make that shift into, I'm not begging anyone to love me.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about, should you beg somebody to love you? And I am personally of the opinion that I'm not begging anyone to love me. You either love me for who I am, and you love me enough that you're willing to talk things out or work things out or stand by me and I'll stand by you, and let's, you know, I can be wrong. I can have hurt someone's feelings. We can talk it out and continue to love each other. But if I have to beg you to love me and beg you to have honor and integrity and honor the relationship that I thought we had, then obviously we don't have that relationship. And so my personal philosophy is I'm not begging anyone to love me. And I teach that to my clients, and there's a certain amount of strength that happens in that. Now, we're not talking about forgiveness. We're not talking about if somebody comes to you and says, look, let's work this out. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, are you willing to beg somebody to love you when they have walked away? So let's look at the idea of trust. If you read my book, Therapy in a Nutshell, Chapter 2 is all about trust. And if you go back and listen to my podcast, I did one on trust. And it'll teach you this if you want to have a bigger, longer lesson on it. But if we look at the people that we trust, I call level one acquaintance. Somebody you know, you don't know very well, but do you trust them? No, they're just somebody that you know. Level two is a friend. You might trust them a little bit more, but they're not even somebody that you would tell you had a headache or you're grieving or anything like that. Level three is a good friend. They know a little bit more about you. You know more about them. You might invite them to a party or a barbecue. You might put them on your Christmas list for cards. Level four is a best friend. This is someone who knows more about you. You know more about them. You would think of calling them in good times and bad. You would miss them. By the time you're at level four in a relationship, whether it's your spouse, your significant other, your sibling, your good friend, by the time you're at this level four, there's an expectation that we have something here. We are either good friends, we're best friends, we're siblings, you're my sister, you're my brother. I stand by you. Starts to happen when you're in level four. And then underneath level four, if you're healthy, there's a wall. Not everybody gets down below level four. But level five I call intimacy. And this has nothing to do with sexuality, but the best, most committed sexual relationships are in level five. It's where the best marriages are. And that can also be somebody that you have an honest, intimate, open relationship with that is not sexual, like a sibling or a friend. It's about being vulnerable, open, committed, and feeling like you unconditionally love them and they unconditionally love you. Level five relationships are not perfect, but what you are committed to is the willingness to duke it out, to fight it out, to talk about it, to fix things if something goes wrong. So what happens when you have felt like you had a committed level five intimate relationship with somebody, like your spouse, and they walk out on you? what you begin to realize is that they didn't feel as intimate and trusting in the relationship as you did. For somebody to be able to walk out, to stop loving, something has to have broken. Something in the relationship didn't fit anymore, or the person outgrew it, or their interest is elsewhere. Something has happened that the level five intimacy between you is broken. Now, here's what I see a lot of times in my office, that the level five intimacy was never there. I see people that there's a one-way level five relationship, that they feel closer and more committed and unconditionally in love with their partner than their partner does with them. It's one of the things I'm looking for when people come in for couples therapy. How committed are they to each other? So when that trust gets broken and you kind of figure out your values weren't the same as mine, you weren't as committed as I was, you've walked and left me devastated, can you ever get that trust back? That's a really iffy question, because the other person has to want to do that. They have to want to reconnect. They have to want to rebuild the love and the trust. And you can't make them. And the last thing that you can do to make them is to beg them to do that. Begging them to love you, to be committed, to value their family or their kids over their own selfish interests or their own need to leave. You can't make somebody feel that way. Do you remember in the movie Aladdin, the genie had a couple of really important things when Aladdin was making his wishes? And one of them was, I can't make somebody fall in love with you. I can't make somebody love you. And I remember watching that movie and thinking, yeah, well, that's probably right on. Those feelings have to come from within the person. And it isn't about you being better or more are more attractive or something, younger, I don't know, pick something. If you were better, more different, would that person love you again? The hardest part is this is not under your control. You can offer up communication. You can say, let's talk. If I've done something to hurt you, I'm more than willing to work on it. If you say there's things in our relationship that you didn't like or that pushed you away, I would like to hear what those are. I'd like to understand what made you fall out of love. And I'm more than willing to get help, to work on it, to build on our relationship to make it okay. But often, once somebody has fallen out of love and they've got a foot out the door, even that is not what will make someone come back. So why did they leave? The person that you thought loved you, that you now want to beg to keep loving you, why did they leave? Was it convenient for them so they didn't have to help take care of your elderly mother? Was it convenient for them because somebody was dying in the family? Did they go into their own midlife crisis where they were questioning their own attractiveness and purpose in life, and they found somebody fresher, newer, younger, whatever, that made them feel important? Maybe. But here's the issue. It's not your issue. It's not your monkey. You can only feed and water your own monkeys that are hanging out in your back. You can't feed and water their monkeys and fix them. If your partner left for their own personal insecurities, their angst, their own anger, their own boredom, that they couldn't keep an interest or that they couldn't commit with honor and integrity to be part of something that's difficult, you can't make them. And that's devastating on one hand and extremely freeing on the other. So let's paint a different scenario. Let's take the woman who fell to her knees begging her husband to stay, that she'd lose weight, that she'd look like she used to when they first got married before she had the three kids. What if she had looked at him and said, you know, this is devastating. I thought you felt as I did about each other and about our family and about our children. And I can't make you love me. I can't make you love us. I can't give you the honor and integrity to be a committed husband and father. I can't do that for you. But I know where my values are, and I know why I'm staying here with our kids. And I can't fix it for you. So I would encourage you to really explore what your morals and values are and what you want out of life, and you know where your family will be. There's a whole different feeling of self-esteem, standing up strong, standing in her truth. She's not lying and saying, hey, fine, go, I don't care. No, she does care. And it's even okay to say, I'm grieving, I'm devastated, I'm frightened for our children. Those are all things that would be her truth, correct? Yeah, she's standing in her truth, but she's standing up tall. She doesn't look like a beaten puppy with its tail between its legs. She's looking like a strong-ass woman who's looking at him and saying, I'm sorry you're confused. I'm sorry that you don't want the same things that I thought we wanted. There's a strength in that. And in that strength, there's a certain amount of help that creates as you're grieving, as you're going through separation anxiety, as you're worrying. So it's not unusual for people to have that devastating reaction first when somebody doesn't love them anymore. And it is very empowering to not crumble when somebody says, I don't love you anymore. And what this is really, really based on, that is at the core of all of this, is how do you feel about yourself? How you react when somebody doesn't love you anymore is truly based on your own self-worth and your own self-esteem. And we're not talking about being arrogant and, you know, just flip where you'd say, fine, you're going to lose the best thing you ever had and, you know, you don't get any more of me and, you know, you're being that kind of angry, arrogant. What I really like people to do is totally stand in their truth. And if your truth is, I love you, I'm devastated, I thought we were more than this, I thought you loved our children more than this, I thought we were headed in the same direction, we've talked about marriage, or whatever it is that made you think you were on the same page, I think it's perfectly okay to say those things. But you're standing up with your head held high, and you're expressing your emotions honestly. You're doing what I call standing in your truth. And when your truth is grief, loss, and devastation, okay, that's your truth. Stand in your truth. There's a podcast on my podcast channel. Type in Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell, and go to the podcast called Standing in Your Truth. It will really help you stand in your truth with the person that you feel has left you. So, does the broken trust ever heal? Not always. Let's say you begged this person to come back, and out of shame or guilt or because the person they were having the affair with left or didn't want them or didn't leave their spouse, they come kind of crawling back because they are scared and they want to come back. How do you feel about that? Do you feel, the thing I hear in my office all the time is, look, I'm not exactly wanting to be second choice. That doesn't make me feel good. It doesn't help my self-esteem. And what makes me think that he or she won't do that again when I feel like second choice? So the trust is broken. When the person comes back, you're automatically going to be thinking, well, you're going to just walk out again? So one of the things I tell people is if the person who's left turns around and wants to come back, which is not unusual because sometimes people get out there and it's not as wonderful as they thought it would be. If they come back, now is the time for you to say, I have always wanted to repair our relationship. I do love you. But now we have other work to do because you've broken my trust. I'm not sure if I feel safe with you anymore, and we need to get some help. That's the time where you can say, we need to get into therapy before I'm willing to tell you whether I'll take you back or not. And with a talented therapist who can really explore your relationship and your trust issues and why the other person left and maybe even get that person into their own individual therapy, then you can make a better informed decision. Should I risk repairing this relationship? The relationships that I've seen where someone begs them to come back and they do, but they never really work on what was wrong, they just kind of pretend and go forward, those don't really work very well. And the chance of it all happening again is pretty high. So getting help is really important if the person does turn around and say, yes, I'm willing to come back. But what we're talking about is, are you willing to be the one that's begging, begging, begging looking desperate and just wanting the pain and the separation anxiety and the feelings of not being worthy. You just want those to end. And what I'm telling you is just because they come back doesn't mean those feelings end. When you come back, we're going to talk about, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back and talk about what do we do with those loose ends and how do we begin to survive when you're not going to beg somebody to love you.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer.
Rest easy. With the new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Will it help with her snoring?
I snore.
Does Rudolph have a red nose?
Yes, it can be gently raised on either side to help relieve snoring.
So you can really promise better sleep.
Not promise, prove. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing. Ends Monday. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
At Golden Valley Bank, our mission is to create a truly unique local banking experience. We understand how important it is to be known and heard by your bank. That's why we take the time to connect with you and the community you live in. When you bank with us, we put your money back into our community by supporting local nonprofits who provide services for those that need it most. Golden Valley Bank, a bank built for business, a bank built for community, a bank built for you. Learn more at goldenvalley.bank. Member FDIC.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
This is the best of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we're talking about not begging somebody to love you. So, if you've been begging, just trying to get them to come back, sharing your desperation and your undying love and hoping that they'll see the error of their ways and feel guilty or ashamed, or the light bulb will go on and they'll recognize how much you had with that person and how much they loved you and how valuable you were to them, and you feel like crap while you've been doing that because your self-esteem has gone into the gutter. That is what can happen when you beg somebody to love you. It often does not work. So what do you do with the loose ends? Let's say you're listening to this show and you go, okay, I gotta stop begging him or her to come back to me. This is not working. I have to stop begging my mother to love me. I have to stop hoping that my father will be different and love me. I want to beg my sibling not to have disappeared and left me with our aging parent. I want to beg that person to come back and love me like I would love them. What if you're ready to give that up? What do you do with the loose ends? There's a sense of there's no closure. There's no, we talked it out and we just decided to go our separate ways. And that often happens because people who tend to stop loving and give up and they don't commit, like some people just commit forever. I say they're like Canadian geese. They commit to a relationship, they find a mate, and they love that mate forever and they don't leave easily. Some people aren't like that. So what do you do with the loose end of feeling like you never knew why they left? You didn't totally understand it. You tried blaming yourself, and that didn't seem to work. You tried begging, that didn't seem to work. You're listening to Dr. Patty talk about cut it out. Don't keep begging someone to love you. What do you do with the loose ends? That feeling that things are unresolved. That feeling that you got thrown away like a piece of trash. That feeling that you thought everything was worth more than they obviously thought it was. with the loose ends that cannot be resolved. And this often happens in life. Sometimes people die unexpectedly. There's loose ends that aren't finished. Some people leave and never turn around and come back and try and explain what happened. Some people never know what happened. And that is not unusual. I hear that a lot. The thing you have to do is you have to allow yourself to grieve. And that's an interesting concept because sometimes we think that grief only happens when someone dies. But the loss of something that you love can create grief and loss. You know, it can be a pet, it can be your sibling, it can be a spouse, it can be a job that you loved. When you feel like you were not valued, and you were thrown away. When you feel like you love somebody tremendously and they died, you can feel unresolved. The thing that you do with those feelings is you grieve. You breathe and cry. You hold the grief in your hands and you say, I miss them. I love them. I thought this would go on longer. I thought it would be forever. I thought they felt like I did. I thought this person was committed to family as I was committed to family. Wild horses could not have made me leave that person. If that person needed me, I would have been there in a heartbeat. That is you. It is not necessarily them. And part of the grief that you're feeling is that you feel foolish or feel duped, or you feel like you assigned to them the same feelings that you had in your own heart. That's hard to understand, isn't it? When you say, I still loved him or her, I would have done anything for him or her, I never would have given up on us, whatever the us was, your dear friend, your sibling, your parent, your spouse, your child, I would have never left them. I would have never given up on them. You cannot make your values and your morals go to the other person. So you have to grieve. Grieving is about feeling the emotion, feeling the loss, and embracing it. And what I tell people is when you feel sad, let yourself cry. Breathe and cry. Shoving it down, pretending it didn't happen, just get super angry or get drunk to disguise it or start using drugs or cutting on yourself or getting suicidal. Those are all ways for you not to feel what you feel. Grief sucks, you guys. It really sucks. It's hard, and it can take you down to your knees. Fall to your knees and breathe and cry. As you begin to move through grief and you look for that kernel of strength that's inside you, you begin to find the strength to let go. I've got podcasts on three really important factors with not begging someone to love you. One of them is learning to love yourself. There's a podcast called Loving Yourself on my channel. There's another one on grief and loss, profound grief and loss. There's one on caregiving, which is a form of caregiving. Somebody who you've lost but you're taking care of still is definitely a grieving aspect. And there's also a podcast on letting go. There's another one on should I stay or should I go. So what if you're the person who has lost that loving feeling? Should you stay or should you go? What I recommend to people when they're trying to tell me, I don't love this person anymore, I need to let go. When you're not married, when there aren't children involved, it's less complicated. Hopefully you haven't combined finances. Hopefully you haven't put both your names on the rental agreement. Hopefully it's less complicated than that. Sometimes splitting up is like a divorce, even though you're not married. But when it's less complicated by not having combined finances or being married or having kids together, what I really recommend is you sit down and you leave honestly. Rather than pick something apart on the person, make them look like the bad guy, pick a fight, justify stomping out, that's kind of being a weenie. You know, you're not being very strong. What I suggest is you leave honorably. You sit down and say to them, I've decided that this is not the relationship to last a lifetime for me. And I'm so sorry to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. And really be honest about why you're leaving, why the relationship wasn't for you. It's kind of like when you're an employer and you fire somebody, you can fire them and make up a bunch of stupid excuses that don't even fly, or you can fire someone honestly. You can say, look, I'm letting you go from this position for these honest reasons. And the reason you do that is hopefully that person will grow and change and go back to be an employee somewhere else and be a stronger employee. The same thing happens when you honestly leave a relationship. Let's say you're leaving because the person is too needy or too clingy, or they suffocate you, or you don't have any common interests, or whatever. You've got reasons that you've fallen out of love. Being really honest about what those are is important and not easy. Sometimes you need someone to mediate that and to help you speak up, and a good therapist could help you do that. Or sometimes your minister, sometimes a good friend, but that's more difficult. So what you truly value, whether you're the person being left or has been left or the person doing the leaving, what you truly value will show up here. So when you're trying to beg someone to love you, stop and think about what you've been saying. I thought we were going to last a lifetime. I thought we were both committed to our kids. I thought we were raised that family was everything. I thought that one of our family values is we would never dump out on each other. What are the things that you say in your mind about why you were so blindsided that this person stopped loving you? What is it that you commit to and that you find valuable and important? And do you feel duped that the other person did not feel that way? Now, this is the call to consciousness. Oftentimes when people have been left, they can feel jaded and burned, and they're afraid everybody is like this and everyone is going to leave them, and they're very fearful, and they start being callous and angry and afraid to commit to a relationship. I hear things like, I'm never going to love again. No way. I'm just going to be by myself. And they say a lot of things like that. And you're probably smiling because you've said that. Anyway, so one of the biggest challenges is not to go into living in fear. How do you keep living in love? So the idea is for you to learn what you could have done differently. So let's say you were needy or suffocating or they left and they were honest with you about why they left. Work on those issues. Work on the self-esteem and loving yourself. And did you bring a desperate, needy you to the picture that was not attractive? Okay, those are things you can work on. Let it be a call to consciousness. Bring a better you to the next relationship. But here's the thing that's very important. Stop assigning your beliefs and your values to the other person as if they accept them too. When you're getting to know somebody, don't give them the answer to your questions. For example, you're having lunch with somebody that's new in your life and you say, you know, it's my belief that family is everything and that you don't dump out on family. You just gave them the answer to your question. Ask them, how do you feel about your family? What's your relationship like with your parents, with your siblings? What's going on in your life? Why did your prior relationships fall apart? What happened? You are looking for their values and their morals. We have a tendency as human beings, especially human beings that have fallen in love, to believe that the other person believes as we do. So your belief that your spouse felt about the sanctity of your family and the welfare of the children in the same way that you did is not necessarily true. You could have colored that page in their coloring book for them, and they didn't color it at all. So going forward from here, know what your values and morals are. There's a diagram that I draw for people. This is how you know who you are, and you can do this as a homework assignment. List these things. What are your values, your morals, strengths, weaknesses, your experiences, your prejudices, your expectations? What are your things about that? And stop assigning who you are to someone else, because that's how you get duped. You begin to mold them into who you want them to be, not who they really are. So there's a lot of layers to this of not begging somebody to love you. But the bottom line is, you are worth loving. And if you don't believe that, and you're shaking your head, that's what you need to work on. This is Dr. Patty, and you've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, and how I'm not going to beg anyone to love me. So in Therapy in a Nutshell, just want to heal the world 1 hour at a time. So listen to this Bonnie Raitt song that really speaks to what we were talking about.
Turn down the bed. Turn down these boys inside my head. Lay down with me. Tell me no lies. Just hold me close. Don't patronize. Don't patronize.
Of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com. Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In December, we're covering frequently asked questions.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.